Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Welcome.
You know,
anniversary?
Yeah, it's our fifth anniversary show today. But the big news of the day is the recreational marijuana stores open across Colorado. So in the day two of legal marijuana sales in Colorado, and guess what? It's still apparently widely popular. People really like the idea of buying their cannabis at a clean, safe, regulated store. Who'd have thought? Colorado made history New Year's Day when it became the first state to allow stores to sell marijuana for recreational purposes to anyone 21 or older. On day two, marijuana sales in Colorado, most of the lines in front of the state's new recreational pot shops were still stretching out the door and around the block.
And now, do they need a medical card for that, or can it just be purchased freely?
I'll tell you that here in a second when this video plays.
420 Smokeout is getting into the business of recreational pot along with the rest of the state. Today, the city will begin accepting requests from medical marijuana dispensaries to convert to recreational marijuana stores. Under a plan approved by the city, people in Boulder looking to buy marijuana will be able to do so sometime in early February. Now, in the meantime, customers can go to Denver, where there are about 18 dispensaries open. There was concern that the demand will outweigh the supply, but Fox 31 Denver's Chris Jose is live now at Iowa and South Broadway to tell us if that's really the case. So how are things going, Chris?
Well, the doors just opened about 4 minutes ago, Brooke. Good morning. You can see here the line back behind me. It stretches this way towards Broadway and Iowa. There's another line that stretches this way towards the other side of the block. I can tell you these folks in line over here, they received the number yesterday. The folks on the other side of the line over here, they are just receiving their numbers early this morning. Now, you mentioned the concern about a pot shortage. Well, one business owner we spoke to yesterday believed there would be a potential, there could be a pot shortage. However, the business owner over here at Evergreen Apothecary doesn't think there will be. Take a listen.
The stores were ready for this. We've been preparing for it for months. I think other stores have been preparing for it also. We're well connected and friends with a lot of people in the industry. We didn't talk to anyone who was concerned about a shortage yesterday, although I hear that word out on the street a lot these days.
And back live out here, you can see at Evergreen Apothecary, they have their red carpet treatment here. The first three people are currently inside the store We're expecting long lines again just like this through the day, perhaps for the next few days. Of course, the business owner here tells us that they have enough stock for everyone here, but I should also mention he also said that they're going to limit sales to just a quarter ounce of weed. Brooke and Ken.
Boy, the growing pain.
How much is that? Quarter weed.
I've just been informed that a quarter ounce is three fingers across the top of the bag.
Well, that's what they had on the news right now. Those people.
I know. As well as all the people, who, 650, did you want to make a comment?
Getting ready to travel.
Hello, 650. Well, as many as 30 stores throughout Colorado were able to start selling on the 1st, with 18 of them being in Denver. So with the few stores that with such high demand, many were worried about the possibility of a pot shortage. But as you heard the gentleman say, they've been planning for it for months. He said that it also were well connected with friends and with many in the industry. We don't talk to anyone who was concerned about a shortage yesterday. Despite his assurances that there wouldn't be a shortage of marijuana available for purchase, he was limiting purchases to one quarter of an ounce on Thursday, which is well below the 1 ounce limit that is permitted for purchases by new Denver laws. As far as the prices of the marijuana across the states, it's been estimated 1/8 of an ounce will cost between $30 and $50, depending on the type of marijuana. That's not including tax. Go ahead.
Go in the computer room.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the taxes are, though. Many marijuana customers were reluctant to go on camera and talk about their purchases. Well, when I seen this video, a lot of people had paper over their faces so you couldn't see them. In many cases, their concerns have some credence, as retailers are permitted to collect buyer information from marijuana customers, and there's also no laws preventing them from passing out that information to third parties, which can include concerned employers. That said, Cullen said the store and most marijuana retailers he has spoken to will refuse to give out the buyer information. A total of 136 stores just received state licenses last week, but most of them apparently haven't obtained approval yet from their local governments to open on January 2nd. Mayor Michael Hancock said he's proud of how the city implemented Amendment 64. He wanted to thank the businesses and the consumers alike for acting responsibly and with great accountability today. Denver is a progressive city, a vibrant city, and it's incumbent on all of us to continue getting this right, he said in a statement. Voters approved it in 2012. As voters have in the state of Washington, was the first to have pot shops up and running under regulations recently established. Not all the state is participating in the new law. Community can decide not to allow shops, and in fact, most of the state geographically has it, including communities such as Greeley and Colorado Springs. Opponents of the new law were dealt a setback last week when Denver and state officials threatened to shut down a private party at a dance club scheduled for January 1st, celebrating the end of prohibition against cannabis. An event billed as Cannabination, the organizers canceled the party because officials said it would violate Denver ordinance prohibiting the public consumption of marijuana. Cannabis can only be smoked on private premises with the owner's permission. Under the new state law, residents will be able to buy marijuana like alcohol. The cannabis purchase is limited to an ounce, which is substantial enough to cost about $200 or more. People from out of state can buy up to a quarter ounce. Meanwhile, a vivid example, a recreational pot is a new reality for the state. Denver officials posted public signs in the tourist-populated corridor known as the 16th Street Mall. Sign reads, "Know the law about marijuana use in Denver. You must be 21 in order to or older to have or use retail marijuana." Says one bulletin on the sign. But further below it, the sign reads, "Warns that it is illegal to use, display, or transfer marijuana on the 16th Street small. Meanwhile, Denver International Airport authorities last week have banned all marijuana on the airport grounds. Medical marijuana has been legal to bring to the airport as long as you don't go through security checkpoints, said airport spokesman Stacy Stigman. I was in Denver not too long ago, in October. I went in to get a drink, and they were smoking it in the bar. But a total ban was implemented to avoid confusion as the recreational pot laws roll out, she said. Officials are concerned that a large influx of people may take marijuana to the airport and transport it across state lines. So even if a visitor brings marijuana to the airport and leaves it in the car to pick up a relative at the terminal, that visitor will be breaking the law and could face up to a fine of $999. Colorado will also become the first place in the world where marijuana will be regulated from seed to sale. Pot, by the way, is the third most popular recreational drug in America, after alcohol and tobacco, according to the marijuana reform group, Normal. What do you think of that?
Sorry.
Well, did I answer your question?
I don't do it. I don't do it, but, you know, they've also passed it here as well. You know,
but I heard they haven't got off the ground yet over there.
No, but what they also put in, like, small print, so to say, is in order to obtain it, you have to have a good enough medical reason and condition in order to get it. So to get medical marijuana, well, this is why I'm curious. Okay, if somebody has a card in a different state, a medical marijuana card, and then they come here, are they able to purchase it, even though they're out of state, but they have a medical card to state why they need it? That's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't got the answer.
That's a good thought.
Somebody else asked me about that. One of my relatives over there has Crohn's disease. And just found out after 10 years that she'd be able to smoke this to ease the pain.
Well.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Crohn's disease is very crippling, you know.
Yes, it is.
Like I said,
I
don't know the full output for it here because 200 laws took effect, and, you know, of course they're not going to say, or they're not going to show you links and where to go so you can see every single law that they just implemented here. You know, I know about the cigarette, but that's a $1,500 fine, and that goes with a severe punishment and jail time, you know. And they have a thing with the cell phone. Serious offense right there. Pow, there you go. You know, the rest of them, I have no idea. I don't know where to even begin to try and look for them because places I assumed where they would be at, they're not there.
Yeah, I heard that the big thing over there is going to be home deliveries. Yeah, home deliveries. You call them up and they bring you what you want. They ask you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have some of that here in California. You know, it's like there's a bunch of new laws that came out, and Illinois is one of the ones that is prohibiting unmanned aerial drones. Minimum wage increases take effect in 13 states. Connecticut has some new gun control laws in the aftermath of the Sandy Hook massacre. So, basically, this story that I got right here is new laws in 2014 from tanning beds, bed bans to lemon pets. But if you're 17 and pale, if you're pale at 17 years old in Illinois. Get your indoor tanning sessions in now. Starting Wednesday, they're strictly forbidden. So you can't be 17 and get a new state law takes effect January 1st that bans anyone under 18 from using tanning salons in the land of Lincoln. Illinois became the sixth state to keep teens out of the facilities, part of the growing trend of regulating tanning facilities to help reduce the risk of skin cancer. That was the National Conference of State Legislators. But in Arkansas, voters must now show an ID at polling places, while Virginia voters, for the first time, will be able to register online. In Colorado, 16-year-olds will be able to pre-register to vote, but still must wait until they're 18 to vote. It just seems like population control to me. You're 16, you got 2 years to wait to vote, and you got to register now? I don't think so. California students must be allowed to play school sports and use school bathrooms consistent with their gender identity, regardless of their birth identity. In Oregon, new mothers will now be able to take their placentas home from the hospital. Some experts say ingesting it is possible health results. Another new state law bans smoking motor vehicles when children are present. Minimum wage increases take effect in 4 northeastern cities or states. Connecticut to raise to $8.70 an hour, New Jersey to $8.25, New York and Rhode Island to $8. In 9 other states, minimum wage raises automatically because it's indexed to inflation. Perhaps most significantly, Colorado adults will be able on Wednesday to buy, that's another one, for marijuana laws. But other states are watching Colorado and Washington because it will continue to come up. Like these developments, the state-led reversal of prohibition in the 30s said that dozen states are due to debate marijuana legislation measures in the coming year or so. The genie's out of the bottle and simply not going to get back in. But the AG, the Attorney General in California, she's pushing to see if we can get it, if she can get it taxed just like liquor, and that would solve the deficit problem in California. I'm thinking if they did it 50 states wide, it'd solve the debt problem in every state.
I don't know. Well, at least one thing, you know, that I can see when Kerry finally passed here, you know. But there's a lot of bullshit behind that. Ugh.
Well, anyone in Illinois who flicks a cigarette butt on the street or sidewalk can be fined at least $50 for loitering. Police must receive training on psychological and physiological effects of stun guns, and penalties are now tougher for inciting a violent flash mob or riot via social media. Illinois also becomes the 13th state to prohibit handheld cell phones while driving. Meanwhile, school districts on January 1st will be able to install cameras on school buses to photograph drivers who pass them when buses are stopped. And school-based education must include information about abstinence and contraception. Illinois is also the home to tough new laws prohibiting unmanned aerial drones. Come Wednesday, it will be legal to use a drone to interfere with hunters or fishermen. And police must get a warrant to use a drone for surveillance, except in cases of terrorism or if a suspect is fleeing a crime scene. Even with the warrant, police must destroy information gathered within 30 days unless it's linked to a crime. Lawmakers in both parties ultimately passed the new surveillance prohibition. He says they understood it was something that could occur in relatively near future, and so there was a desire to get on top of it. And then on January 1st, this is a sample of other laws taking effect. Colorado drivers will see annual $50 fee for plug-in electric cars. Colorado is one of states looking to capture revenue from alternative fuel electric and hybrid vehicles. Connecticut new gun control laws in the aftermath of a school shooting include mandatory registration of all assault weapons and large capacity ammunition magazines bought after April 2013, and the creation of a statewide registry that will track parolees whose crimes involve weapons. In Delaware, the possession or distribution of shark fins is prohibited. Delaware is expanding early voting. Maine becomes the 48th state to require a checkoff or organ donation on a driver's license to promote organ donation. Oregon privately run websites that feature police mugshots must take down photos for free if the subjects can show they were not guilty and the charges were dropped. Violent becomes the 8th state to enact a so-called ban the box law that prohibits prospective employers from inquiring into an applicant's criminal history on written job applications. kinds of crazy shit going on.
Of course. What kind of laws have they set, or do you know some of what's coming to your state? Are they still doing that, pulling everyone over crap?
Yeah, but in California, these are the new car laws. Child safety, distracted driving, clarification. They had to clarify what distracted driving was. It's made illegal for young drivers under 18 to use voice-activated texting, handheld, or hands-free calling. Any use of a cell phone is prohibited for these young drivers. Illinois will be the 12th state to institute a ban on using handheld cell phone while driving. Vermont has instituted a handheld cell phone ban for drivers going to work zones. Driver's license renewal. That is changing how often drivers must renew their driver's license. Most original license and renewals for those who were born an even number year will be valid for 8 years. Residents must renew in person at the DMV office. Renewals for those born an odd number years will be valid for 4 years. Next renewal in 2014.
Hey,
hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Happy New Year's. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
Our lights just went out. Because
yeah.
We're having a big snowstorm here.
Hey,
that's
we
okay.
Had it.
It was 73 and sunny today. In 8 years, at the renewal in 2018 and beyond, for drivers 65 and over, renewals will stay at the 4-year cycle. Drunk driving. In Colorado, the rules on drunk driving have changed. Motorists who lose their driver's license for 1 year or longer because of an alcohol-related driving offense may apply for an interlock restricted license after 30 days without driving. But if the person refused to submit to a blood alcohol or breath test, he will have to wait months before being allowed to request an interlock restricted license. Anyone who lost their license for a year or more before January 2014 is eligible to apply for an interlock restricted license on January 1st. Regardless of the situation, the person has to keep the interlock in the field for at least 2 years. On bicycle safety, on September 16th, 2014, California will require drivers to stay at least 3 feet away when passing bicyclists. Speeding. Illinois will pass a new law increasing the speed limit from 65 to 70 on rural four-lane highways. But the new law includes an additional safety provision that lowers the limit by 5 miles an hour when drivers may be charged with excessive speeding. Currently, the threshold for penalties is 31 miles over the limit, but the new law lowers it to 26. Either way, you're fucked. You're going to get a speeding ticket. And then in February, the new labeling identifying car seat weight limits will go into effect all across the country. Parents and caregivers, the latch anchors, have a maximum combined weight of the child and child seat of 65 pounds. Revised labeling requirements are intended to make it clear that a child's weight determines how long a latch can be used to make the limit readily identifiable for each seat. Parents will need to take into account the weight of the seat and the weight of their child and determine when they need to move out of latch and into the vehicle's safety belt. There's also a couple links here. The good news is that cars are getting safer each passing year and laws to help play a key role in vehicle safety. So there's some. I'll put these links up in the chat room. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, we cover most of the new laws for everybody. I got some questions today about knives. And then I got another one. Let's see. Yeah, according to the passing distances, Assembly Bill 1371, known as the 3 Feet for Safety Act, and that will go into effect in September. Clean air vehicle decals, HOV stickers, Assembly Bill 266 and 286, Senate Bill 286, extends sunset dates for low-emission, zero-emission vehicles to operate in carpool lanes without meeting occupancy requirements until January of 2019. And anybody that has a commercial driver's license, Assembly Bill 1047 will allow the DMV to conduct a commercial drive test for the holder of an out-of-state commercial learner's permit. The department would electronically transfer the information to the motor vehicle department and the applicant's state of residence. It also modifies the license class definitions to require a driver weighing more than 26,000 pounds to either hold a commercial Class B and a driver operating a bus 26 pounds or less to hold a commercial Class C license. The DMV registration pilot program. Senate Bill 806 authorizes DMV to establish a pilot program to evaluate the use of alternatives to stickers, tabs, license plates, and registration cards, subject to certain requirements. It will also enable the DMV to experiment with electronic license plates, as well as facilitate DMV's ability to explore cost-effective alternatives to California's traditional metal license plate, flash decoder registration stickers, and paper registration cards. Registration and vehicle transfers between family members will be prohibited from now on to a relative or revocable living trust until all parking or toll violation fines and penalties reported to the DMV are paid. Teen drivers, Senate Bill 194 will prohibit a person who is under 18 years of age from using a cell phone. Veterans license plates, AB 1244, requires the California Department of Veteran Affairs to sponsor a veteran special interest license plate and requires the DMV to issue the veteran's plate if a CalVet meets the current statutory requirements. The law creates, in addition to the current honoring veterans design of the veterans organization plate, a new program to reissue the veteran design that was issued prior to January 1st, 2010. These plates are available to all vehicle owners. But according to what I heard from the state, they got to secure 7,500 prepaid applicants in order for the department to implement the plate. And then the DMV will begin a process of implementing Assembly Bill 60, the new law requiring DMV to issue a driver's license to an applicant who is unable to submit satisfactory proof that he or she is legally present in the United States by drafting new regulations and preparing field officers to process new applications. This law becomes operative on January 1st, 2015, as well as the driver will be required to meet all driver's license qualifications. Yeah. That's pretty much what I got and what was sent to me. Let's see, here's another one. Yeah, plastic, we got anywhere from a plastic bag ban to transgender rights, minimum wage hike, the gay scout ban, and paparazzi crackdown, more room for bicyclists, Amber Alert expansion, texting and driving, on-campus smoking, hybrids riding in a carpool lane, finding hit-and-run drivers. This is this one I like. It takes it from the 3-year statute of limitations to 6 years from the date of the crash. And group gratuity, tips automatically added to a restaurant bill when a table seats 6 or more will not be taxable. So in other words, you got 6 people at the table and they leave a tip, it goes to the owner of the restaurant, and then it gets taxed and it's in your regular wages. And then as search warrants, the driver is suspected of DUI, refuses to submit or fails to complete a blood test, can be served a search warrant to draw blood in a reasonable, medically approved manner. It went into effect on September 20th of this year, 2013. And in victim protection, employers are now barred from firing, discriminating, or retaliating against a worker because they are a victim of domestic violence, sexual assault, or stalking. The new law requires employers to protect victims from their abusers, for example, by changing the employee's work number. And there's most people just hear new laws and they leave it at that. They don't know what the new laws are.
Yeah, because in some instances you don't know where the hell to find them at.
Yeah, I got a video here. There's some people on on the phone. I'll get to you in a minute. 650-307. I'll get to you right after this video.
Phil, I'm going to call you back because our lights just went out.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Let's see. Let me see if we can get this. Well, yeah, there's a bunch of new ones that came out. And it's almost 40,000 lost.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Waiting for this to load up, but these are not everyone subscribes to New Year's resolution. But Americans, all of us, will be required to follow new laws in 2014.
Wow!
Flash mob crackdown to pet lemon law. 2014 will ring in nearly 40,000 new state rules. Here are the highs and the lows. Smoking a reefer in Colorado is legal. Oh, but don't toss the butt of a cigarette in a public street in Illinois. It's considered littering. You could pay in cash or jail time. And don't even think about lighting one in a car with a child in Oregon. The Beaver State won't allow it.
First we said, can you smoke in this part of the restaurant? Then we said, well, can you smoke outside? Then we said, can you smoke down the street? And then we said, can you move to another state? I mean, we do not like regular smokers. Meanwhile, when it comes to marijuana, marijuana is fast becoming a legal substance in the United States.
But new moms in Oregon can get away with this, taking their placentas home from the hospital. If you're wondering why they do that in the first place, some experts think eating it has positive health benefits.
As long as they're not giving it to other people to eat. I suppose it's okay.
And talking about health, no more tanning beds for some teens in Illinois and Oregon. You'll have to be 18 to tan in a salon in those places.
Oh, what a happy girl.
But you don't have to keep your new pet if it's sick. Illinois' new pet lemon law allows people to return a pet if an illness was not disclosed by the seller. In California, gender will no longer determine what school bathroom children can use. It's gender identity that matters.
The student who identifies as a different gender may feel comfortable in that bathroom. What about all the other students? And I think that's going to be a problem, and I think you're going to see parents really revolting against this law.
Serious moves could have serious consequences in Illinois. The maximum penalty doubled to 6 years prison time for organizing a violent flash mob using social media.
And here is one more for you. If you're an Illinois driver, don't pass school buses when they're stopped. Because hear this. School districts are allowed to install cameras on buses. If you're caught, you're going to get busted. You're going to get fined. And that money is going to go to the schools or to the city.
Oh, good. That's
yeah.
What I said.
No,
it's
a red light camera.
That fine is $1,500.
Well, that's what it is for a cigarette butt one, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, like I said, there was more craziness going on here. But, yeah. 650, did you want to talk or did you just want to listen? Hello? Did you have a comment?
Hey, this is Rhodey. I wanted to call. First off, I want to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Do you guys remember to make your resolutions?
Yeah, but, you know, I broke mine already today.
Yeah. I decided I'd start the year out right and go back into donating blood. Went in today, the lady got all cut and all nosy, started asking a lot of personal questions, whose blood is this? Where'd you get it? Why is it in a bucket? So I just left. The hell with her. She can go get her own. Anyway, you still there?
All right.
Yes.
Still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I bumped the phone. I thought I lost you. Anyway, I was calling. There was one thing I wanted to mention, and I'm scrolling down to find it here. I'll go back to my notes. That's easier. Got a deal. Everybody out there, I think 99.9% of us are supportive of our troops.
Right.
Unfortunately, there are those out there that are just real scumbags that try and exploit them.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm still looking for more information on it, I have found what appears to be a pretty serious scam going on. And I
involving who?
It's called the Silent Soldier Ruck March. They've got a Facebook page. Literally hundreds of people complaining that they've purchased merchandise from them. They don't ever get anything. They can't get anyone to reply to them when they post on the page. Their comments get about where's my stuff. Their comments get deleted.
Right.
Anyone that would exploit, I find it's deplorable to the point of being obscene that anyone would exploit our nation's military and our veterans for personal profits. I just want people to be aware, not everybody out there is doing this for the right reason.
No. There's a guy who's in charge of Wounded Warriors Project. He's an ex-attorney. He's paying himself over $300,000 a year.
Yeah.
And then, from what I understand, they have a high overhead that they use for advertising and stuff. And then it was also, let's see, yeah, there we go. This was sent to me, and my apologies if anybody has seen this or heard this more than once, but I couldn't. It's a friend sent me this about the Wounded Warrior Project. Their 2012 tax return shows an income of almost $155 million, with only less than $5 million being given to real Wounded Warriors organizations or individuals. This kind of makes me sick. Wonder if Trace Atkins knows about this. It starts out the income dollars were $154,958,901.
Yeah.
Expenses, and this is their expenses. Grants to organizations, $4,657,000. Grants to individuals, $871,000. Directors and trustees, this is to be their overhead expenses. Compensation officers, the directors, and the trustees, $1,057,997. Other wages include $15 million. Their pension plan, well, now why would they need a pension plan? $340,000. Employee benefits, $2.3 million. Payroll taxes, $1.6 million. Legal, $500,000. Accounting, $132,000. Professional fundraising, $1.9 million. Advertising and promotions, $146,000. Office expenses, $12,500. Their IT setup, $254,000. Their occupancy, their rent was $2.5 million. Their travel was $4.1 million. Their depreciation was $1.6 million. Your insurance was $215,000. Outside services, $20 million. Meetings and events, $9 million. Direct response service, $6 million. Promotional items, $4 million. All other expenses, $3 million. Joint cost, $25,576,000. This is joint cost from combined educational campaign and fundraising solicitation. It's always been that way. I remember that when I was a kid. with Vietnam going on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like
they come to your house.
I just wanted to put that out there. You know, that these guys are, a lot of them out there are actually trying to do some good. But unfortunately, there's the real scumbags that are exploiting our military and our veterans. And, as one of them really kind of pissed off about being exploited, it's bad enough we got people in Washington exploiting the hell out of us. It's just one of those things. I wanted to put it out there and let people be warned that this isn't a, it's not a good situation. And, when you go in.
No, it's not.
They've got a website that goes to a discontinued GoDaddy free webpage. I mean, when GoDaddy kicks somebody off, you know something's wrong.
Yeah. It's, Peter and I, when we do stuff, it's kind of crazy because we get hit up 4 or 5 times a week. And usually what will happen is if I can't answer the phone right away, they'll leave me a voicemail. And being what I do during the day, I don't have a lot of time to spend on the phone. So I'll send them over to Bill. Bill will get all the information. And then we do a background check and we find out how much money goes exactly to what they're having the fundraiser for.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that all they have to do is give 5%. The rest they can keep.
Yeah. You know, this one page in particular, they directed to a so-called news article that I don't know if it's an actual online paper or not. That's the LeonCountyToday.com, go to it, and it talks to the guy in an interview with the guy. He claims he's retired from the U.S. Army as a specialist.
Right.
Okay, a specialist. That's kind of an underachiever. He retired the equivalent of a corporal. You don't do that in 20 years.
Yeah.
But I went to his Facebook page, looked him up, and he's in there. His so-called military pictures, he's holding civilian shotguns standing in front of a 4x4. With mismatched BUs. So, that told me right there that this is not a good page. And, we've got several pages on Facebook that I am administrator for and manage, and we've been putting warnings out there, but I just wanted to make sure that people know that you need to be aware that there's scumbags out there, especially now with the economy sucking, that are going to try and take advantage. And you got to make sure if you want to do something and make a donation, find a reputable source.
Well, I'll tell you right off the top of my head, the Paralyzed Vets of America, or the Paralyzed Vets of your state, that money goes to the Paralyzed Vets.
Yeah. Yeah, we do a sub-zero mission here out in Wyoming where we collect up winter coats, sleeping bags, insulated boots, gloves. And what we do is we've gotten some of the local dry cleaners to clean the stuff for free, and we take it to the VA in Cheyenne and the rescue, or the homeless shelter, in Cheyenne. And say, hey, here's this stuff. Get it to these guys so they don't freeze, because nobody needs to be losing fingers or toes out there.
The 22nd of December had over 1,000 people, plus the fact that we collected stuff for about a month and a half for what we call Bill does this run. It's called the Big Cover-Up. And what it is socks, shoes, blankets, toiletries, bedding, whatever, and it all goes to the homeless vets.
Yeah.
We do that every year.
Yeah, like I say, it's bad enough that our vets are getting screwed over by our own government. And, pensions are being stripped away. And, hey, that burial package that we were all agreed to, that we're supposed to get a free military honors funeral when we died, that got raped away from us. Now they've got it, and I found out the hard way with my father that instead of getting that free funeral for being a dishonorably discharged vet, If you die in a VA hospital, and only if you die in a VA hospital, they will pay $700 towards a burial and only a burial. If you die in the street in front of the VA hospital because they kicked your butt out, or if you want to be cremated, they ain't going to give you shit.
Right. But
we found that out when my dad was in the hospital last June. 2 days before he died, they kicked him out of the VA with active pneumonia. Didn't bother telling anybody that he had pneumonia. And then when he died, they wouldn't even do anything. We couldn't even get a marker for his grave.
Wow. Yeah, the only ones that I know that will come out are the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and writers.
Yeah. You know, and VFW and the Legion, they do a lot of good. And
yeah, they do.
You know,
I happen to be in the Commander's Club in the Legion.
Yeah. And, hopefully, you know, I've been in contact with our one senator, and he's doing a lot, got people on it, you know, constant contact with them, trying to get things changed for future vets to not get screwed around. But I don't know if we're actually going to get anywhere or not.
We might not see it in our lifetime, but hopefully something gets done.
Yeah, but you know,
if the senator or congressman gets enough people in their district to start berating them with phone calls and emails, they have to do something because they know if they don't, they're losing votes.
Yeah, well, this particular senator, he piped up real fast as far as paying attention and everything because he knows that I'm the type that, yes, I am going to be a pain in the ass until things get taken care of. So, but, you know, it's just one of those things that it's terrible that the sort of thing is going on. And like I say, I wanted to get people off. Be careful because there's a lot of scams out there that are claiming to be doing things for vets.
Yeah, anybody that calls you and asks for a credit card, it's a scam. So you'd have that off the bat.
Yep. All right, and like I say, there's one out there. It's on Facebook. You know, if they don't want to put this one page, go to it, won't even on the about section, doesn't even have who's managing the page. I mean, if you're running completely anonymous like that and you're asking for money for, quote, veterans, you're taking the money for yourself. So that's something people need to be aware of.
Yeah. It's,
no.
I always say, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Yeah, you know, fuck me once, shame on you, fuck me twice, shame on me, and I don't allow shame on me, so.
Yeah. Me either.
But, you know, and like I say, I'm hoping that if my calling in tonight keeps just one person from getting taken, then that's great, you know, because that's the best anybody can ask for.
You're absolutely right there.
Yeah, and, we've got some pretty turmoil times right now in this country. And, you know, I won't get into religion because that's a touchy subject, but there is a war on traditional religions in this country. If you're a Christian kid and you want to pray in school, you can count on getting kicked out of school. But yet if you're a Muslim, you're entitled to drop down to the floor, face the east several times a day, and do your praying. And,
you know,
that's supposed to be equality. I mean, give me a break.
I happen to work on a Navy base, and I see that all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's getting very bad. We need to be aware of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But like I say, I wanted to call on that one. It's been a while since I've called in. It's just been so crazy out here with everything going on since my dad passed away that Sorry to hear that. But I do still listen when I get the chance.
Well, I appreciate that. Today happens to be our start of our fifth year.
Anyway, I'm going to let you go, but I just wanted to touch base with you on that. And,
appreciate it.
I'd like to say, hey, have a great new year.
You too.
And when they ask for you to bring in blood to the blood bank, did you bring it in the bucket? They're going to complain. So, have a great night. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Hello? 650. Hello? So the power come back on?
No. And it's going to go below zero tonight.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the 30s here.
Yeah, it's, of course, it's been snowing all day here. I'm supposed to leave tomorrow for Florida, so I'm hoping that I can get out, but we'll see. I'll have to go to the airport, though, because if I don't and they cancel the flight and I'm not there, then I lose my money because my husband didn't put an insurance on it, and he always does. Yeah, so I have to be there. So that means I got to take the van into Boston. They're going to pick me up at 10. And hopefully, you know, my flight is supposed to be 10 minutes or 2, so
yeah.
It's supposed to stop snowing about 10, so maybe they can get it clear, you know, won't cancel the flight. So.
I don't know. We had 3 days of snow here.
Did you? Wow. How many inches did you get?
Well, at noon, it was 10.9 inches.
How much?
10.9 inches. Sorry, I got a bad sinus.
Well,
I don't know what it is right now. I'm sure it's way over a foot. I mean, some places north of me got like 18 inches, 17 inches. Crazy.
Yeah, it's stupid. This is like the third time this month, and there's only like 22 of us that our lights go out. This is the third time this month. So it's a pain in the ass. Because we heat, you know, we heat by gas, but the furnace is electric. So when the electric goes out, our gas goes out.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, we're going
to... I got something for you guys. Hold on a second.
Okay.
That's getting off the bus at boot camp. Of course you don't understand because they're screaming.
Yes, wow. I know it. Jesus. Oh, God.
Had a flashback.
Has Travis been on?
No.
No? How's Bill doing?
Holding his own. Got a few issues going on right now.
As granddaughter, how should like Christmas?
What?
Irma should be back on here in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay. How was your Christmas feel with the granddaughter?
Everything was good.
That describes a lot, doesn't it, Nara? Like he's supposed to tell us how excited she was opening her gifts.
Oh, she was. She opened more than she opened all the gifts. Are you kidding?
Oh, all of them.
Wrapped up and then start tearing into it. Of course, she got a few fingers from other people showing her how to rip it. But
yeah.
Other than that, everything's good. Yeah.
That had to be cool.
Mhm. But other than that, no, everything was good.
Yeah, I had a good Christmas too. It was good. New Year's, we went out, but we were back at 9, so.
Yeah. What did you think about all these new laws? What did you think about all these new laws?
Bill, they're going to change every friggin' law that they want to, and there's not a damn thing we can do about it. At my age, I don't get excited as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Have you heard from that congressman or senator yet?
Yeah, what has happened is the Senate chairperson got elected to be a congressman in Washington. So now they have to pick another chairperson for the Senate.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't done that yet. So the woe is that I'm just going back to Florida, and when it happens, it happens. I can't build my life around that, you know. But I did get in touch with Tom, so thank you very much. And everything's going to be taken care of when I get back there this coming week. So that will be kind of cool.
Uh-huh. Hold on 1 second. Wait, go ahead. Hello,
oh,
508.
Me.
No.
It's me, man. Then what are you talking about? I'm sick.
You sound it.
I am. I'm very sick. And all this snow's got to go. It's got
to
go.
I didn't give it to you.
Well, that's funny because I was thinking that. I'm like, Nora gave me bacteria over the phone during the holidays.
Not me.
No, I just wanted to call
you
and say
terrible.
Hello. I'm feeling pretty rough. I, like, debated to go to the hospital or not, but the snow is so bad right now. I'm not going nowhere. Maybe in the morning. It depends. Because I don't know what they did up your way, Eunice, but the kids are out of school already today, tomorrow, and they did that yesterday. And,
did the same thing up here. Yeah,
and Logan Airport shut down at 8 o'clock tonight. I've got my friends from Bermuda in the Hilton by the airport, and their flight was supposed to leave at 8:20 Friday morning, and right now they're spending an extra day in the hotel. And
the airports are closed here. They're diverted off flights to Blackford.
They shut that down about 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Logan. I got to go out there tomorrow. Because if I'm not there, I'm going to lose my money on my plane fare, you know, so. But they predict that it's going to stop, you know, early in the morning, and they'll be out plowing.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. Our lights went out.
Oh, I still got electricity. I'm good. So far.
Yeah.
You know, the last time we lost it for like I think it was like 20 hours, something like that. But I wanted to wish everybody a happy new year and
happy new year.
You know,
same
and all that other good stuff. But I have to go. I need to go to bed.
Alrighty.
I just wanted to say hello.
Happy new year to you too.
Happy New Year.
Good night.
Better.
Happy New Year. Take care of yourself.
All right.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank God I haven't got that yet, but I did get a clean bill of health from all my doctors, so.
Good for you.
My way. Yeah, yeah, they can wait until I come back in May, so.
What do you think about this new potluck?
Pardon?
What do you think about this new potluck, Colorado?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. But it's going to be state, you know, controlled. You know it as well as I do.
Well, yeah, we got an AG in California here that wants taxes like liquor and cigarettes, which is not a bad idea.
I'll tell you, they're really expensive up here compared to Florida, you know.
Yeah, what are cigarettes in Florida?
They're $4 a pack.
$4 a pack?
Yeah. Wow. Up here, they're almost $8. Nun brand is almost $8. Well, it is. The brand name ones go like for almost $10 a pack. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you ought to just get yourself a med card and go for broke.
A what?
A medical card from your doctor.
For the cigarettes?
I don't know, I ain't gotta smoke that shit. I can't even stand the smell of it. Ugh.
Well, seeing that I have no lights, guys, I'm gonna head to bed.
Yeah, you need to keep your phone battery. I have a safe flight. If you don't fly out tomorrow, let me know.
All righty. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay.
All righty. Bye-bye.
We'll talk.
Bye, Phil. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's getting crazy out there. Let me see who this is again.
It really is.
Hello, 650. Did you want to talk or you just want to listen? Did you want to make a comment or just listen? Okay. I don't know about that.
I don't either.
No, sometimes we get that. People call in and they just want to sit there and listen. And I don't know if it's because they're afraid to talk or what.
I don't think it's being afraid to talk. Just think if they have something to say, that they'll say it or chime in. Otherwise, let them sit, you know.
But yeah. Yeah, and yeah, there's a lot of things going on where, you know, we're becoming more of a police state every day.
Oh, I know. I'm just waiting for when it all takes effect. We're just one day you're fine, the next day, poof, here comes martial law.
There you go.
It'll come. And people won't know what to do, you know.
Oh, that's the problem. You bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Exactly, and, you know, nobody wants to be agitated because nobody thinks anything's going to take place. It's all a joke. But it's not a joke when you're being stopped, you know, at a roadside thing and you're asked for DNA.
No, it's like there's top 10 stories, but the number 10 story, a welfare recipient received more benefits than permanently disabled pet, and still not happy.
Right.
I got somebody sent me this video today, too. Let me see if it'll load up here real quick.
Okay.
While this lady receives $1,200 a month in public assistance. Four children by four different men. And none of them pay her any child support. Been on some public assistance. Despite being in a perfect health and capable of working, she has no desire to find a job because the government gives me money. Well, she has sold her food stamps for free money. She intends to become pregnant again. She can receive more welfare money and pay no taxes.
Yeah, she needs to get off that system and get, because they're starting to crack down on people that are selling their food stamps, you know, for cash. Don't get me wrong. I know that people need cash. But in the same sense, if you're getting assistance, either stick with it or get the fuck off it. You know?
Right now, there's approximately 3.5 million disabled vets in the United States. And on average...
You know how many of them are homeless?
Yeah, I know. And you know how many get $1,000 a month? That's it. They suffer from permanent disability that generally greatly reduce their ability to earn an income. If not, stuff that ability out entirely, and many of them do not function as well as with regular life skills and capabilities as they did before coming injured or in the service to their country. Many of them are missing limbs, have severe back, joint pain, and other issues as a result of all the heavy body armor they wore in the wars in the Middle East. And even larger numbers suffer from invisible wounds such as PTSD, the root cause of 22 veterans a day taking their own lives in mass veteran suicide epidemic we're now seeing in America. And however, most of the people who suffer from disabilities will tell you they would proudly serve their country again if given the opportunity. There's a different group of people in America who are also receiving benefits from the government. However, this group of people have not served their country in war, and even more amazing, they are still receiving benefits than our disabled combat veterans. And on top of that, they're still complaining and demanding more.
Yeah. And you know what? Vets get shit. But, you know, I'm not saying no. But there are certain types of women out there, like you were just saying, that don't care. They'll spit kids out left and right just to get anything free. Those are the ones that need to get a fucking life, get a job.
Yeah, this lady says, thanks a lot to Obama. Our food stamps went from getting $11.70 down to $11.06. He's now taking food out of my kid's mouth, and he's only making it worse on people who need government assistance. He sucks.
$11.70? You know, when they started going through, you know, and decreasing food stamp amount, you know. Now, my daughter, because my grandson that, you know, about being on state aid for right now, they dropped her $100.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then it was like they were forcing the issue, okay, get them off the formula and get them on milk.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, are you crazy?
Well, the milk costs more than the formula.
I know. And here, the milk, I don't know if it'll go nationwide or what. They're talking about the milk here going up to $10 a gallon. Fuck that. Better up be more better off to get a cow.
Yeah.
But yeah, it pisses me off when people abuse the system. And the ones that need it can't even get it. Or if they do, they get chump change compared to women spitting children out left and right.
Mm-hmm.
That gets my goat.
Yeah, it's just, well, you know, it's like they say, you deserve what you tolerate.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't have a lot, but I'll tell you what. At Christmas, there were people that I knew that didn't have a place to go or anything. I had them come to my home, and so they could have a meal. You know what I mean? Do I care? No. That's what it's all about, helping somebody that has nothing. And what is the cost? Nothing.
That's correct. So, Yeah, I mean, to complain.
And how many benefits are going to be cut with the vets?
Yeah.
They always get shortchanged. For what?
Yeah.
How can they abuse the system? They can't. They have legitimate issues. I'll word it that way, you know. And it takes forever and a day to get anywhere, and if they even receive it.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why people are sleeping underneath a viaduct.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And there are some states that have that vagrant law. So God forbid if you're homeless.
Yeah. I mean, down by where I'm at, where I go to work. Let's see. Okay. Robert, you were on mute. Now you're unmuted. Do you want to stay on mute, yes or no?
No. I thought I was off mute. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's.
Happy
you
New
too.
Year's.
Hello. All right. So if I could I talk about Unification Rally coming up?
Sir, you can have as much time as you want. Go for it.
Okay. Well, for those listeners, we are having what is called a Motorcycle Rider Unification Rally on Saturday, January 11th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. So friends and riders and friends, so we can begin to assemble on the 10th Street, which is the west side of the Capitol building at 10 a.m., I mean, because we're expecting a large contingent of riders from the far north and the south parts of the state, we provided a two-hour period from 10 to 12 to accommodate enough time for everybody to get there and get situated by 12 noon. So the rally, even though it may have been originally advertised from 10 a.m. to 2, it's actually 12 noon to 2, so it's 2 hours. But there's going to be some time there for people to settle in because we are expecting thousands of riders here this year than there have been in years past. So again, it'll be held at the... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so it'll be held at the California State Capitol building, which is at 1400 10th Street, again, the west side of the Capitol. So the parking situation there, because these are some of the details that have not yet gone out, so I'm actually announcing these on here first. There's going to be reserved parking for approximately 3,500 to 5,000 motorcycles. So to maximize the total number of spaces for these motorcycles, we did not reserve any spaces for four-wheel or more vehicles. So anybody who happens to drive to the event itself will have to use one of the many parking garages around the side streets around the Capitol building. The reserved parking will be located on Capitol Mall, for several blocks leading to the 10th Street portion of the Capitol, and parking will continue to fill what we affectionately call the horseshoe on both sides of the streets on 10th and L Streets. Now, as a note, our permits and reserve parking is good until 3 p.m., so any bikes left in the parking stalls after 3 p.m., however, could be subject to, you know, parking tickets. So we're going to announce the fact that, hey, after the rally, you're going to move it. Don't leave it there in case everybody wants to necessarily walk to the Easy Rider show, which is just a few blocks away downtown in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
They might want to move it. Otherwise, it'll be subject to some type of ticket at some point there. Now, as far as security goes, as part of the special event process, rally organizers had to essentially hire several police officers. It seems to be a sort of a trend. Anytime you go for any type of permits, law enforcement sort of requires use of their off-duty police officers to be part of security, which is sort of, I think, a sort of a sham because you know, we can find other options for security, less expensive options, but this was important enough not to go back and forth on. We just went ahead and did that. So they'll be monitoring the traffic and parking situations within the 10th Street, L and N Street Shoe Horse. And at the Capitol itself, if there are those who have been to rallies like this in the past, there will be law enforcement on the ground, on foot and on horseback. There's also been some questions and comments regarding the use of civil disobedience at this rally. And although civil disobedience is key to any political movement and will no doubt be play a role in future events and activities, this rally was designed to bring us together on a weekend without the typical political sideshow. So the answer really to that question is no. This rally is really meant to be peaceful and lawful gathering. There's also been some questions on use of knives. I think, Phil, you mentioned earlier you had some information on knives. That's some good information, and it's very confusing, particularly here in the state of California, as there are state laws specific to the states, and then within each county and sometimes within the cities, they enact their own ordinances. So you really have to pay close attention to what those local ordinances are on top of the state laws as well. And I'm not going to read any of those on the air here. There's quite a few here that folks that are interested can take note. And again, it's more for serving our community in terms of passing information on. I myself am not a lawyer, so if you really have some legal questions behind knife laws, you should contact a criminal attorney. Okay, then we got the restrooms here. I'm sorry for bringing all the logistics up first, but, you know, logistics are always some of the first questions that are asked. So we do have quite a few porta-johns that were rented and will be placed around the horseshoe on 10th and L Streets. So now we get to sort of the nitty-gritty. What is really the purpose of this rally anyway? Is it really sponsored by a motorcycle rights organization, a statewide organization like a BAID or an MMA? No, it's basically organized by individuals within clubs and the Confederation of Clubs here for the purposes of bringing as many California state registered motorcycle riders, off-road riders, motorcycle club members, independent veterans, rights organizations like the BAIDs and MMAs, other associations like metric clubs, et cetera, coalitions, including bike builders, part manufacturers, service industry people, journalists, event promoters, law firms, biker-friendly legislators, any freedom fighters, political activists, and all their family and friends to stand together side by side in a show of unity and resolve to discuss political, legal, and public relations issues and solutions that affect our personal freedoms, lifestyle, and culture within the framework of a peaceful and lawful gathering. So that was, at a high level, sort of the intent there, because the unity factor is important at this stage of a movement, because within any civil rights movement, individuals in the affected class, and, you know, we're known in some circles as a suspect class, particularly those that wear patches and ride in clubs, we have to come together first emotionally and agree in principle that, one, problems do exist and that require action. Then we can establish a dialogue that can be used to discuss solutions leading to legislative relief and social recognition and change. So that's, you know, why we themed it as a unity type of event rather than just come on there and start, you know, parading, you know, politicians as that we have in the past in their dog and pony shows and listening to some things that are not necessarily related to our lifestyle and culture when you go to these type of political rallies. So some of the discussion points, we want to talk about certain things that are really ring truth. I mean, we do have issues within our own ranks, within the motorcycle community. Number one, very in my mind, is apathy. Okay, we are, for a long period of time, conditioned, and we've seen political type of strategies like this applied even as far back, even as recently as Nazi Germany, and how they slowly use the chipping away of rights as a means to sort of allow it to be sort of tolerable within the bulk of the masses until there's so much that is eroded or taken away that they simply can't do anything about it anymore. It's too late. So, you know, it's part of the thing we want to try to raise also is sort of an awakening and awareness that, hey, there's enough evidence here, even though it may not seem concrete to you. I mean, it's basically the writing's on the wall in a lot of this stuff. and that we also have a need to be more reactive, or not to be as reactive and be more proactive in these type of things. I mean, why wait for shit to come into legislation, right? Because then we're already up against the wall on things like that, and we should be trying to lobby against those things or deter legislators from even pursuing or supporting these things before it even gets to committee. So that's type of one of the other things we're looking to try to inform and educate folks on a way to turn it around. And the fact is, you know, rights is not a part-time endeavor, right? I think hopefully people would agree to that. It needs to really be taken, you know, as seriously as one conducts their own personal business, 24/7/365, okay? So it's an awakening. It's sort of belief that things do have to change, and by bringing everybody together like this, hopefully we can get that message through. You know, and the rounding out sort of the issues also that we're going to try to address anyway through the unity theme of the rally is the fragmentation of a lot of the organizations. I mean, California is a very complex, huge state. We have multiple state motorcycle rights organizations and 7 confederation of clubs, and I can't even count how many different types of coalitions and metric groups and riding clubs, social clubs that are around there, and just everybody seems to be moving to the beat of their own drum. Some don't even recognize that there are issues until it's really, you know, until they go through the education process and go through all the facts that are on the table. So that's another part of it. And then finally, you know, code of conduct on the roads, because you know that a lot of attention gets brought onto certain situations like that issue. I can't remember where it was, where there was a large group of sport bikes and somebody hit them off and knocked somebody over, and then there was a big to-do about dragging the guy out of his car. You remember that a couple of months ago?
Yeah, it was us. You know, seven of those guys were cops. Two of them were undercover.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. But the point is, it's like we can sometimes be our own enemies, right? And part of the thing that we're also have to figure out how to turn around also is sort of the negative media that motorcyclists have, you know, being about being out of control and then not being following rules and laws and things like that. And so that's why they feel, at least what they're saying, is they feel they need to regulate everything that we do. So that sort of rounds out the sort of the issues within sort of our own ranks. As far as the current laws, pending legislation, national campaigns, and the rumor mills also that fall into this, I'll bring up first that the things I've been trying to myself personally been pushing for the last couple of years is the profiling or the pretextual traffic stops. And the current strategy right now, even though it's not in legislation, is to find a legislative author for this unbacked California anti-profiling bill before the February 2014 new legislation cutoff date. So it's going to be sort of, you know, a call out to anybody who wants to help try to work with their local legislator to find a sponsor for this bill, or an author rather, because unless somebody steps up to the plate and takes it into committee, more than likely we'll be looking at, you know, the next legislative session in 2015-2016. And each year it gets much worse on the road. And so
it's just like what's going on in Australia. People don't realize that what goes on there goes to Canada and then comes here.
Right.
I mean, me, you, and Art were sitting in a bar in Oceanside, and we walked outside, and the next thing you know, we're arrested and being detained, and we don't even know what we're charged with.
Right. Yeah, but just for association, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's pretty ridiculous in the way, if you read the valid laws in Australia, I mean, they're sort of somewhat vague. And, you know, the thing that we're seeing also is sort of a trend, sort of an international trend towards the regulation and laws applied to motorcycle clubs. And you'll mm-hmm. some of the trends that you see are the definitions around what they define as a gang, and usually you hear the same three or more in a group, you know.
Right.
And That right now is, even though we're going to be talking about things like that, that is definitely something that's, you know, at play for real in this world, okay? And to your point, what usually happens, you know, in one place eventually comes to the other. If we don't think right now the U.S. government is not paying particularly close attention to what's going on in Australia, they're delusional, you know? It's simply a matter of time.
Exactly, that ATF guy that lives up in Glendale, Puccioni, he's been watching that for since they started down there. He's even gone as far as to help them write some of the text that they're using to do that to people.
Right. So let me just go on a little bit here. I just talked about the pretextual traffic stops, which is a big problem everywhere in this country, in any state. And the only law that exists today, of course, is the one, the anti-motorcycle profiling law that was passed in the state of Washington several years ago. And that seems to be having some pretty decent success. And again, it's not a sophisticated type of bill. It doesn't require little to no money whatsoever, because it basically serves as behavior modification for law enforcement. To just simply ask them to condemn the practice of profiling, they know it's not right, they know it's not constitutional. You know, I can't imagine they'd be on the stand saying, oh yeah, we condone that practice, it's the right thing to do. That would be sort of suicide. But they do have, at some levels, certain type of training or some type of white papers or sort of procedures or processes in how they approach motorcyclists on the road, particularly those that are in clubs that, you know, we found to be similar to Biker 101 in Washington, these guys that have come out from, as an example, the L.A. County sheriffs that really show members of clubs as being notorious gangsters, you know, with highly armed and ready to pull the trigger any time. It's no wonder that a lot of the young cops coming in on the streets are fairly paranoid at us. And so that's, again, another part of the issue. The other thing that we're sort of looking at also is the ongoing denial of service in business establishments and public events on private property. You know, the no-collar dress policies that, you know, we boycotted down in near L.A. a couple of years ago, those type of matters here. Because
yeah,
you know,
we did one in Oceanside about 4 months ago.
Yeah,
we went in there,
you know.
The cops went in there ahead of us and told the owner that if he served anybody, and you know who it was? The Patriot Guard riders. They just came from a funeral. They just came from escorting a funeral. And then in the afternoon, before they went to the bar, they went and met a bus coming in from March Air Force Base and rode back with the guys to Pendleton. They came out the front gate, and this is a little cantina. They got good food. And the cops went in there and told them, if you let these guys in, we're gonna pull your license. Patriot Guard.
Yeah, I mean, under what grounds? I mean, I you know, it's just, you know, incomprehensible what, you know, these guys are sort of doing, without justification, without legal backing for this type of stuff. But anyway, you know, one of the things we were looking as a means to being able to try to get us out of what, again, the notion of us being a suspect class, just to being you know, the same as anybody else, is by amending the Uyghur Civil Rights Act here in the state of California. So they can't be denied service simply because of what we wear. Because the weird thing about this whole situation, Phil, I think everybody knows that, hey, they'll say, so, you know, it's not okay for you to come in dressed in your, you know, in your cuts, but it's totally fine if you take it off, put it on your back on your bike, and then you can come in. Well, that doesn't change who we are, okay? So that's why it doesn't make a fucking lick of sense why they even have these type of policies, because, you know, if it's for safety, you know, I understand no barefoot, okay, clothes, you know, things like that, but to say it's not, you know, it's not right or good, we're not going to let you in because you're cut, because in a lot of cases it might start an issue or some type of commotion within the business environment, just by taking it off doesn't mean nothing's going to happen. We all know who we are. And I'm sure that
exactly.
Law enforcement would prefer that we keep our cuts on so they know who we are too, because if we're all walking around without them, they don't know who the hell is who, you know, in
exactly.
any given area. right? Okay, so the other things also that are of interest here in the state of California is the active Senate Bill 350, which is still active and scheduled for hearing in the Senate Transportation Housing Committee. Now, Senator Ball from Santa Clara, who I had personal contact with, and has talked to others, that he said that he was not going to move forward with the bill, that he was going to wait to see. Now, this guy, first of all, let me take a step back and talk about BLA. He has absolutely no history of any type of traffic safety type of legislation in his past, okay? So why in the hell would he come up? Why is he so goddamn interested in lane splitting? Okay, so some people like myself have sort of an idea that it might not have been, he had been put up to it, and we could probably save that for another time. But the fact is even though he said he's not going to pursue it, he did not pick, for some reason, he's not picking up the phone and say, kill it. You know what I mean? It's still out there. So, there's some of us in some circles believe that he was waiting for the CHP's crash study to come out. I think it's been released, but it hasn't been publicly released yet. And he needed that, just as anybody who's looking to, propose some legislative change that requires, statistical evidence to be able to do that. I'm sure that's what he was waiting around for. So there's still a distinct possibility that Senate Bill 350 and lane splitting could be going in. And, of course, anytime we're talking about legislation, it could be sort of like the Wild West out there, too, because other campaigns by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, like the Rider Conspicuity campaign, which is the reflective gear, the wearing of bright orange or lime vests and reflective tape and things like that, as well as the 30-degree angle on license plates, are all campaigns that are done at a national level. And, they don't establish these campaigns unless something's going to happen. They eventually make their way into legislation as well. So these are the time when this is what I'm talking about, being proactive versus reactive, because if we want to, put some pressure against legislators here to not support this thing, we got to go out there and start lobbying for this stuff. So, in the causes here, there's always, energy around new legislation, things that we need to have for this legislative relief for, like anti-profiling. We have modifications to existing laws, or like helmets, as an example, that we tried to get done here in the state of California a couple of years ago without success on that first pass. And then, of course, there's a complete repeals of existing laws. So there isn't at any point in our year where we can't all be doing something to make our lives better, to secure and save and preserve our rights and our lifestyle here in California and in this republic. Okay, so in addition to lane splitting, I talked about the reflective gear campaign. Again, there's no known legislation pending right now, although there remains a strong possibility of it forming into specific legislation or being slipped into an existing bill whose title would not be obvious to the general public. So if that doesn't happen this year, we really feel strongly it's going to be within the next couple of years. And although similar legislation has passed in other countries, it is just one program among many within the framework of what is known as the United Nations Global Harmonization of Motorcycle Manufacturing Standards. And California produced a bill led by Fran Pavley several years ago, known as Senate Bill 435, which was the exhaust bill, is a prime example of campaigns coming out from that thing, finding their way into law here.
She brought that guy out here from Boston.
From Boston?
Boston was doing the same thing.
Well, yeah,
and,
he
was one of the, according to her, he was one of the co-authors.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it started out as a noise bill and sort of evolved into you know, the modification of exhaust systems and the ensuring that the original embossed stamp remains in place. That's the one way for law enforcement officers, even at a stop, to be able to determine whether or not exhaust system was in fact modified.
Yeah, well, I'm still trying to figure out how they're going to do that today. Stop you going 75 miles an hour for like 10 or 20 miles and then get down on their hands and knees and look at a hot pipe on the side of the freeway.
Well, first off, you know, the challenges are going to be particularly, it's a little easier on some of the newer Harley-Davidson 2014 models, right, where they, you can actually see the new, what do you call those things, where you put, it's water-cooled engines, right?
Oh, yeah.
So those are going to be more obvious, but in general, when you're riding on the road, how can you tell just by when you're riding at 75 miles an hour, like you said, whether or not a bike is was manufactured after January 1st of 2013? You don't. You know what I mean? But they can still use that. They can still use that as criteria in a pretextual traffic stop. Again, it's all aligned with profiling to pull your ass over and start looking under the pretext of it being something related to vehicle code, and then for them to turn around and start conducting a criminal investigation on you, you know, and violating your Fourth Amendment rights as well.
It's just like a bumper sticker on your car now is probable cause.
And to be quite honest, it has been cause, or maybe not probable cause, but reasonable suspicion, actually, is the correct term, for them to pull you over. Because they feel, they'll see, as an example, a red, not white sticker, and, you know, by virtue of association, they feel they're justified to be able to pull you over and conduct a search, right? I know people have gotten into this situation directly that I know personally, and some of them weren't even, they were in their cages, in their trucks. They weren't even on a bike with their patches on. They're getting pulled over for this type of shit. Members of HOG or people who don't even wear any patches are getting pulled over for this type of shit all the time where I live. So
there's the same thing going on down here, Bobby. We got a guy down here now. He just started the last 6 weeks. He's been taking helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. he tells him you better call somebody and have them bring you a helmet, and it better be a DOT approved helmet, because if I see you drive away, I'm going to impound your bike and give you another ticket. And
right.
Then he pulls down the block and waits. But if you drove away without the helmet, it's a $25 fix-it ticket. You just go to the CHP and show them a helmet, and they sign it off. But a lot of people don't do that. Bill gets at least at the shop. He gets at least 6 to 8 phone calls every couple of days where this guy's taking helmets again.
Jesus. Yep. And this is just one thing. Again, this list is long, and this isn't even representative of all the challenges that we as a motorcycle riding community have on the streets. And if you look at it closely, yeah, it's related to us and our lifestyle on the road, but it's really civil rights, basically, that are getting chipped away and violated. And it, you know, doesn't stop with the 3 or less. It's, you know, threatening to limit our associations, just like you said, right? It's already restricting international travel for 1% clubs already by virtue of their classification as international terrorist organizations. Then, obviously, you know, veterans. I mean, even more recently, again, veterans are being called out as potential threats to national security. And, you know, veterans are a very large part of motorcycle club community and riders in general. I mean, so you can't talk bad about veterans without affecting, you know, people that ride, because we're right alongside them. So you start calling
them.
They
just put the Vietnam vets on the watch list.
Oh, yeah. Well, they talked about it a couple of years ago, I think, down in L.A., somebody who was part of the California detention system, the correctional system, was made a call out to legacy veterans specifically, and I think that's what happened here also in a case that I think is in Las Vegas, where the burden of proof is up to the member to prove that he is not part of a organized gang. And, you know, this is, again, I believe, the Vietnam Vet Legacy Vet Motorcycle Club. But anyway, yes. These things are publicly out there. And then, again, you know, the gang definition to perpetuate us within the public eye and in law enforcement on a federal level, who is being head up by the International Outlaw Motorcycle Gang Investigative Association. They're the ones who come up with these damn classifications. And who's part of the – who's on the list of over 300 clubs in this country that are deemed as outlaw motorcycle gangs? And then associated with that, of course, are the – what I believe are the totally out-of-control gang task force operations – the traffic task force operations, which include license stops, warrant stops, they're just all over the place. And it calls us to look back on another piece of legislation that was supposedly passed several years ago, which was Assembly Bill 1047, which was, restricting motorcycle-only checkpoints. Well, law enforcement really found a way of getting around that. The thing about legislation also that we have to bear in mind is really what the language is going to be when it's inserted into either the vehicle code or the penal code, because that is what's going to be interpreted, and that's what's going to be played out in the court system and on the streets. So unless we get that portion of it right, it's great to have a bill, you know, going into Senate hearings and all, but, you know, this is where we got to, you know, stick with it all the way through to make sure that the intent and the spirit of what we were trying to achieve in legislation doesn't get lost in vague language that is actually inserted into the code. So that's a learning lesson for many of us, and so hopefully that won't happen to us if we stick to our guns here and do it smartly. And then I'll just finally, you know, and a roll up on just the basic government infringements of our rights in the area of surveillance and data collection, because it does affect riders and motorcycle clubs in particular, you know, with the drones, fusion centers, NSA spy centers, its extensive use of cameras on public streets. I mean, these just, you can go on and on. Take your pick.
Yeah.
Right? So we have a lot to talk about, okay? But the first order of business is bringing everybody together and saying, wake the fuck up, number one. You know, it's like in the Matrix. You take the red pill or the blue pill. You take the blue pill, you know, you go back to sleep in La La Land, wake up and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, and then we'll show you how deep that rabbit hole goes. And that's what,
exactly.
You know, truth has to, you know, people have to finally snap out of it. Because, you know, we're...
You know, it's like when for forever we've been doing this run down here with the pioneers and the messengers, and it's called the big cover up. Well, mm-hmm. For the past 6 years, Bill and I invite the mayor,
mm-hmm.
And then when the cops show up because everybody's converging on Bill's shop, this is the 22nd. I got there and two cars were coming in. One from one end, one from the other end, and they asked, I was talking to Bill, and the guy rolled up and rolled down the window and said, excuse me, this is Kennedy, can I see your permits? And he pointed at the mayor. And the guy goes, well, that's the mayor. He goes, yeah, he's got the permits. So we invite the mayor, and that kind of just,
oh, yeah.
they don't bother anybody. Well, before we started inviting the mayor, they were on everybody like cheap suits, you know. It went from 600 people to maybe 400 people, and in the last 2 years, it's been over 1,000 people each one, because we've been inviting the mayor. And last year we invited the chief of police, and he showed up.
Well, I mean, these all demonstrate that, you know, there are tactics that need to be used. So, you know, the first thing is to understand that just because something worked in the past doesn't mean it's always going to work. So if it stops working, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should think about stop not doing that same thing. That's going to produce the same results, right? This is
mm-hmm.
why we moved the rally, as an example, to Saturday, and we, you know, took away the component of all the politicians up there just giving us, you know, their song and dance act, because we want to get together as a community first. And try to get the thing out is that, you know, in a real movement, I mean, there has to be some intelligence. There has to be, leaders. There has to be established principles that we all agree to and follow. We're not saying that, this whole movement has to be governed by, hierarchy and things like that, because really at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do in your own local areas, but you're all working towards the same thing, regardless of how you get it done. And by virtue of sharing information, like things that have worked in the past, things that are working presently, and using that as your baseline, you find that you'll, and obviously investing your time, because that's really what we're talking about, treating this seriously, mm-hmm. treating it as equally important as defending your family, as defending your job, right? Right should be right up there, okay? Otherwise, what are you going to tell your kids when all the shit goes away? And anyway, so, part of it is an education process, too, because we can go on, and talk about very specific stuff, but part of the thing that I personally, need to instill in people that will even listen is the notion of the bigger picture, okay? That, there's a reason to the madness, and you start at the top and you sort of work your way down, because everybody's going to have their own opinions, and this is what, part of our issue is with fragmentation. If we can't agree on the common goal and values and the principles, how are we ever going to work together effectively to achieving, results to get us to where we want to be? So that's basically all I wanted to talk about. That's the rally. It's on the Saturday the 11th.
You're welcome to come back 7th and the 9th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
The bottom line
well,
is...
Here's the thing that will be helpful, besides, shows like yourself, because I'm putting together a very short, concise, to-the-point press release. I do need as much help getting it out to local, because this is statewide news. The fact is we're going to have riders from all parts of California converging in Sacramento for the first time in a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as the composition of those riders are going to be, well-known clubs of note.
That's correct.
And so, of course, that should draw attention. That's not the reason, that we're not putting that out there on purpose, but is to show that, hey, we're all unified on, common platform here,
mm-hmm.
and we're unified on a resolve. And, that's more important than any, personal issues. And, no one's going to, tear us up, divide us in that sense. Like the old Art of War type of themes, like, my enemy's enemy is my friend. Because at the end of the day, we all have the same enemy,
Exactly. So. I mean, it's like right now, Bobby. I got people in Germany, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, and the United Kingdom and Indonesia, as well as the Ukraine, South Africa, Guatemala, France. Listening all over. We even got one guy listening in China.
That's great. Hopefully,
New Zealand. I mean, this
in a way, it's sort of embarrassing. It's sort of embarrassing now. Other countries can understand multiple languages and in English, and I can barely speak English myself correctly.
I feel you on that one. Sometimes I get tongue-tied myself. Like just today, we had it's still ongoing till midnight, but we got 69,051 people have looked at the blog today. So if you got whatever you want to send me, just send it to me in an email and I'll post it for you. Because
okay.
I've been pumping out the unification thing every couple of days.
No, I've seen that. I really appreciate that. Yeah, and this is why we really believe there's going to be a lot of folks there, because more than any time in our history, actually people are actually beginning to wake up and they're standing behind the desire to change things, and that's good, because short of initiating a full out revolution, this is one of our last chances to do these approaches in a bloodless type of way. You know what I mean? Because we didn't, you know, I'm not preaching to the choir here, but we didn't get these rights by just sitting back and voting or nodding our heads. I mean, blood was spilled, you know, people died, and there was a lot of carnage involved. So, I don't anticipate that changing if the shit really hits the fan. I don't know.
No, you're right. I agree with you 100%. Because it's like I say, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, if you get 10 people get a ticket and 9 of them just pay the ticket, what's, you know, that's the way it's been going forever.
Yeah, and we're sort of at a handicap too, right? Because, I mean, who can we really trust in terms of legislators and politicians? They've got the lowest, approval ratings in frickin' history, from my understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet nobody's taking any steps or giving any energy to unseating them. If they're not doing a good job, it's within our power to fire them and find somebody who will. You know, and
right.
That's another aspect of the bigger, bigger picture, end quote, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going to a rally, because rallies are just a tool. You know, they're a means to some end. It's not the end itself. In the framework, there's a lot of things we have to be doing on the state, national, and local levels. And when you're playing the game of politics, it's not just simply looking to enact or reform or modify legislation. You're also looking to modify the landscape of legislators. I mean, this is another program that Bolt was also, you know, really finally made me realize that, you know, to achieve a reboot of Congress, you really, over a period of time, you have to find those that are worthy of our trust, and you got to help them. And that doesn't mean throwing them tons of money, you know, or throwing them your full time, but just a couple hours here and there, that equates the votes. And sometimes in certain districts, you're talking about, you know, single-digit voting that gets somebody into office. So you can't take these things lightly, you know?
Oh, you
anyway.
Can.
I've been flapping my gums enough there. Nora, what do you think?
I have a view in regards to the Capitol right, that you guys are doing. Now, do you feel that you're going to have a huge turnout with all different writers or just specific type of writers, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, yeah, I can. I can answer that. I mean, the easiest way to answer is we're going to get more of the usual suspects. What I mean by that, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, those people that we're connected through, you know, like Confederation of Clubs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the motorcycle clubs are the most connected to one another, regardless of, you know, distance and things and time and things like that. And in the history of the rally, since, you know, we lost the helmet fight, you know, they've been steadily on the decline. I could tell you that in the last 2-3 years, there have been less than 500, as low as probably about 300 in the last 2 years. This year, we're just a staging group leaving from different parts of the San Francisco, East Oakland, East Bay area, riding up towards Vallejo, and all interconnecting with other Confederation of the Clubs and riding up there as one group. Whoa, we're expecting that group alone to be well over 1,000, okay? There's a, you know, and part of, you know, the success for this also is that, you know, all the clubs that we look up to as well are participating, you know? It's just a factor. You look at any state that has been successful in legislation, it's because their dominant clubs have been engaged in that process. Okay?
Right.
And in this case, I see more cohesion between the big clubs in at least as it relates to saying, hey, we all need to be together on this. We have common issues. And, you know, this shit has got, if we want to survive, you know, we need to work together. So that in itself is a major difference, okay, that what I've heard, the north and south, you know, type of situations, and I'm glad, it, you know, hopefully it's not too late, but it's certainly what we really needed.
Yeah, you know Tombstone, right?
Yeah. Yes, I do know him. Yep.
Okay. He's going to be on. I've got a hold of a couple of people, and we're working out the particulars, but he's going to be on one night too, so I'll let you know what night he's coming.
Well, that's okay. He's he and I are talking, and I've invited him to speak, and I'm supposed to help write something, so I got to call him back as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So but, then that's the last part. I guess I didn't talk about who are the speakers. If we're not going to have politicians, who is going to be talking? Okay. So there will be members of a fairly new motorcycle rights organization that was born out of the Napa Solano area called BRO, or Biker Rights Organization. They just recently obtained their, you know, 501c3 classification, and you know, they're starting to get into the fray. They're actually the organization that helped pass the anti-profiling bill to be able to do my grassroots lobbying to try to get that authored. We'll have several members of that organization talking. We'll have representation from hopefully all of the 7 Confederation of Clubs here. Again, this is bikers talking to other bikers, okay?
Yes.
No other influence there. It's just us together alone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to get back to Nora's point, we know it's not just our clubs. I mean, bringing the North and South together on a common type of a situation, don't get me wrong, that's monolithic. But to Nora's point, we need everybody out there. We need independents. We need metrics riders, associations, coalitions. We need, you know, the clubs and social clubs of the black set. We need ministries. We need everybody who frickin' has a motorcycle out there, and their friends, and veterans. You know, again, because this is not a biker rights thing. This is a civil rights thing.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's what I was meaning, because it can't just be an MC thing. This is for every single writer out there, whether if it's a rice burnt, whatever, it doesn't matter. Anybody that writes has the right to stand up for their right, period.
Well, absolutely. And even if you remove, you know, the things that are supposed we differentiate ourselves with, which is the motorcycle, you know, it's really about our right to be free without being harassed, without being told what to wear, what to do, how to do it. I mean, it's just getting ridiculous.
Oh, I know. I mean, it is out in your state. I'm just wondering how long before they hit it here. Because, you know, there's no helmet law here in Illinois. And years ago, I used to be with a bait for that reason, you know, to make sure the helmet law didn't come into effect here.
Have you guys talked about in previous shows about the, you know, government agencies like the Center of Disease Control that are pushing or recommending national helmet bills?
No.
Have you talked about that? Okay, sure. This is what kills me.
I mentioned it when it came out, but I haven't done a show on it yet. But that's something That's something
we can do
down the road.
Yeah, you can do that too. Yep. I mean, because that's going to take a lot of time because, you know, you can question why other government agencies are getting involved on the whole motorcycle safety issue when they have their own specific things that they should be concentrating on, like, you know, heart disease and you know,
right,
other forms of ailments. Why? Oh, and then you could also ask the question, well, gee, while we're at it, why did your organization buy, you know, 20 million rounds of hollow points?
Yeah.
You know, by the way. So yeah, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to you about that. We'll get something together. We'll do a show on that.
Yeah, because
right,
that would
good.
Be awesome to learn about that.
Yeah.
Well, you got to look at it this way, folks. You know, the government is very, very smart. Okay, it knows that it has its very subtle ways of working towards its goals, and it's not to do the big bang. Do it all at once, go for outlawing motorcycles and blah, blah, blah. It's a very slow methodical, chipping away, and it's also regional. You don't see it all happening necessarily in California. You may see it, you know, elements in Illinois or in New York, where they're probing and testing for weaknesses and trying to, you know, get things done in court. It's something that people need to be aware of and be enlightened on, because if we can't convince,
yeah, it's like you go out to yourself,
can't see this. Yeah.
No, it's like you go out to your South 40 and there's a tank parked out there, and there's no basin, nothing around there. It's parked 200 or 300 yards from a power plant.
Mm-hmm.
People are starting to see that all over the United States now, especially in half the police forces in the United States are getting all those anti-personnel. Amtrak's, whatever you want to, you know.
Oh, and supposedly free. Like the government is just going to flip out and give them, you know, $300-$400 worth of military equipment, unless there wasn't some program behind it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, what do they need? What do they need that type of military type of weaponry for?
I live next to one of the biggest bases in the United States, and my town has two of those already.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to go too far off the railroad tracks to see, you know, train loads of military equipment going north to south every couple of years when they have joint paramilitary operations.
Yeah. I mean, yep. there's 2,000 Russians on Pendleton right now training.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's an ongoing process, my friends. I mean,
mm-hmm.
We may be resting and we may be debating and we may be fragmented, but I can tell you that our government is not. They're very methodical. They know what they're doing. So,
yes, they do.
Anyway, want to thank you guys. Went over. It's already past 8, but wanted to thank you for the time.
Oh, no worries, Bobby. Anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yep.
I'll hit you up. I'll hit you up tomorrow evening.
Okay, sir. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Have a great
night.
Night,
everybody.
All right.
I want to thank Robert. I want to thank Nora. I want to thank everybody who contributed tonight. And we'll talk to you guys Tuesday. It'll be our second show
of the year.
All right.
Yeah. Yay. Good night.
Night, everybody.